The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, 'One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against the stone.'" Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, 'The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. I want to begin by suggesting a very simple way of fasting. Don't leave Mass early. Because when I go down the aisle sometimes, the pews are a little bit empty, but fasting from leaving early, at least during Lent, so that we can fully celebrate the sacrament together. I have bad news, and I have good news. Not bad news and bad news like the last time. Well, the bad news is contained in our first reading from the book of Genesis. The good news is in the Gospel of Matthew today. Those two readings really give us bookends to the celebration of Lent or salvation history as a whole, because it's all about what Jesus came to do to save us from fear, slavery to sin and death, all those terrible things that came about as the result of the sin of Adam and Eve. So in that story from Genesis, we have Adam and Eve, our parents, original parents, who were given everything. They had the whole Garden of Eden to enjoy. They didn't have to wash clothes or mend their clothes. There was food everywhere. And God simply said to them, "Do not eat of the fruit of this one tree." One tree. That's all that they had to do. Avoid doing that. But Satan comes along and says to them, "You know, God is really misleading you. He's lying to you. Go ahead, eat the fruit of that tree, and then you'll be like God." Well, foolish people that they were, they ate of the fruit of that tree, and as a result, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. And so we have the story of how we human beings, even today, are enslaved to sin and death, enslaved to the power of sin and death. We fear this, that, and the other thing, even though in the Garden of Eden they had no fears, they had no worries, they had no anxieties. And yet they gave all of that up by giving into the temptation of Satan. And that's our story. The Bible is our story. So that's our story as human beings. We think we're wiser than God, that we deserve X, Y, and Z, that if I feel this particular way because of something that I've done or I'm doing, that it's okay, and that God must support me in what I figure out in my life, what I think is wise. But that's foolishness in the eyes of God. We're called to do God's will, obey God, so that we can know what is true and good and right and do what is good and true and right. So our story is that we're constantly being tempted by that same tempter, by Satan, to say no, God, and yes to ourselves, to sin, to do what is evil. And then, of course, it's no wonder that we continue to recognize our slavery to fear and the power of sin and death. We worry about this. We worry about that. We don't even look forward to death. We think it's something horrible. And all of that is because of sin in the world and because of our giving in to sin in the world. Well, God could have said to Adam and Eve, to all of us, look, you had your chance, you blew it, that's it. He didn't have to forgive us. He didn't have to constantly send people to us to try and get us back on the right path. He didn't have to send Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Moses, Solomon, Jeremiah, Isaiah. He didn't have to send any of them. He could have said, you had your chance, you blew it, and that's it. But he didn't. God created us to be with him for all eternity. He loves us dearly, so he never stopped coming back to us, sending people to remind us that this is the way of the Lord. Turn back from sin so that you will know the peace of God. But again and again, people turned away. The Israelites in the desert turned away from God and were punished. The kings of Israel were punished because they were unworthy of God. They turned away from God. So we come up to the present day. Well, we're still doing that. But we have less of an excuse than those in the New Testament because we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So when we get to the reading from Matthew in today's gospel, we have the beginning of God's perfect work that turned on its head the sin of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave in to temptation freely. No one forced them to do that, and they were expelled from paradise. Jesus stands up to temptation. He says to the devil three times, no, no, I won't give in. And so he begins that process of salvation in the climax of this story of salvation by beginning to say no to Satan, so that he can go into the world and proclaim the gospel. And what did Jesus do to prepare for going into the world, his public ministry? He spent 40 days fasting, praying. Well, that's Lent. That's Lent for us. That's why we have Lent, an opportunity to look at our lives, to look at where we are in our journey with the Lord. Have we turned away from the Lord? What have we done that is evil and sinful? What do we need to do to be reconciled to God and our brothers and sisters? That's what Lent is all about, a way to turn away from evil, to turn back to the Lord, to clean up our houses, our spiritual houses, our souls, so that we can be more faithful disciples of the Lord. So as always, when Lent comes, we have three particular tools which God gives us, the church gives us. We have prayer, and of course that's something we're called to do every day, not just during Lent, but in a particular way during Lent. If we've gotten away from the habit of prayer throughout the day, well, we have the opportunity then to use that tool, to use it more frequently, to use it so that we can hear better how God is calling us to turn away from sin and to turn back to him. Then we also have another way of focusing on our relationship with the Lord, fasting. So Jesus fasted for 40 days from food and in the desert, and so we have an opportunity to fast, to give up something that may be good or bad, but something that will remind us as we deny ourselves that whatever it is, whether it's an action or something that food, it will remind us why we're doing it. We're doing it to be strong in our faith, to be strong in our focus on Christ, and not look to bread, not look to power, not look to possessions as what really gives us joy and completion and fulfillment, but rather to help us recognize that it's only in God that we are fulfilled. So fasting is supposed to help us see that reality and to make us stronger so that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what comes along, we'll have the strength not just to endure whatever happens, but to embrace it in the name of Christ and walk with it, no matter what that cross may be in our lives. And then, of course, we also have almsgiving, and many of the early spiritual writers of the church say the easiest way to have our sins forgiven is by giving alms, and that simply means giving support to the poor, to recognize what God has done for us, and out of great gratitude for what God has given to us, to do what God tells us to do, to take care of the poor. So we have the rice bowls. You can pick those up at the end of Mass. You can help out at a soup kitchen, donate food. There are many, many different ways in which we can support the poor. And again, fasting and almsgiving and prayer, they're not just relegated just to the season of Lent. We should be doing them each and every day to remind us of who we are as God's beloved children, created in His image and likeness to do the work of Christ in the world. So we do these exercises, we use these tools, not simply for ourselves so that we can be good people, but rather so that we can be good evangelists, people who go out into the world and proclaim the gospel, people who know the goodness of God, who have been forgiven time and time again by God, and are so grateful for that, that we want to share that good news with other people. That is the good news that we have been given, and that's the good news that there are literally millions of people in the world who have not heard it, who are waiting for someone to proclaim it to them. So each and every one of us in this church today, we have been commissioned to take what we have experienced, what we have heard about salvation, and take it into the world and to let other people know, especially those who are perhaps in sinful situations, who are still enslaved and don't know how to take the shackles of slavery off of themselves. We're called to go to them and give them the key to take those shackles off, to be free children of God who are on fire with the goodness of God, the graces of God, and who want to follow in the way of the Lord. So we've got about, 37, 36 days left. A lot of time so that we're truly ready to celebrate Easter in a big way, the feast of our salvation. But in the meantime, each and every day to ask ourselves, where are we on our journey with the Lord? Have we strayed? What do we need to do to get back on the path? Do we need to go to confession? Do we need to pray more in our lives, to take quiet time, to read the scriptures, to just be with the Lord? What do I need to do to serve my neighbor better? What am I doing to serve the poor, as Christ tells me to do? What am I doing in all those different areas so that I can grow more fully in my faith each and every day of Lent and each and every day of the year so that we can be more faithful as Christ's disciples? So we, as always, Christians have a lot of work to do, not only to get better at living our faith, but also to take that good news out into the world so that we will hear less and less, hopefully, over time of wars and killings, murders, all sorts of evil that are out in the world. We have the key to unlock people who are enslaved to the evil of the world. So we need to be grateful for that, to recognize that we have that key, and to constantly look for ways to take it out to other people, to proclaim the good news that God created us to be His good, holy, free children, people who one day, hopefully, will be with Him for all eternity, but here and now to live the gospel and to proclaim the gospel in word and deed each and every day.